New research has highlighted the growing number of Irish women experiencing homelessness in recent years. In Dublin region alone, 47% of individuals who are currently homeless are women, a figure well above the European norm. So why are we seeing a rapid feminization of homelessness? Joining me in studio to discuss just that is Dr. Paula Mayock from the School of Social Work and Social Policy at Trinity College Dublin, who conducted a study, and Roisin McDonald, who's the services manager of Focus Ireland. You're both very welcome to Global Village. Paula, start with yourself. You say that women who become homeless have distinct experiences. Can you explain that to us? Because I think in Ireland we are so sadly almost desensitized at the sight of a homeless man, but it's just becoming more and more apparent that there's more women, and it is still a very shocking sight to see.
Yes, when I say women have distinct experiences, I'm referring in firstly to why they become homeless, the situations that lead them into housing insecurity and homelessness, and also their responses to homelessness. So, for example, one distinguishing feature for women is the issue of gender-based violence and the manner in which that can impact women's lives. Not simply because they have to leave their homes, but very frequently they, in fact, remain in their homes for longer periods than would be at all desirable, because they essentially find themselves choosing between a situation of domestic violence and homelessness. And these are very poor options, if you like. In terms then of women's responses to homelessness, of course, homelessness is a stigmatising and a highly stigmatised status in and of itself. But I think for women, there's a particular stigma, if you like, associated with the status of, quote unquote, the unaccommodated woman. So women typically will go to great lengths to conceal their homelessness, to hide it from others, to hide that, and even at the point of being at risk of homelessness, to conceal that from their children. And they fear for the impact on their children. They often fear going into homelessness services, as I'm sure Roisin is going to talk about when she speaks about women that she would deal with on an ongoing basis. And they can fear for their safety, for their security. Of course, women will have a particular fear of rough sleeping, because the street is an inherently predatory environment, so it's not a safe environment for anybody. But very frequently, women won't sleep on the street alone. They'll often seek to be with a male for protection. It may not be a romantic partner or a sexual partner, but it may be somebody who they perceive will be able to intervene or protect them in those situations. So, yes, women do have distinct experiences. And we also have a problem in Ireland with women becoming homeless again and again and again. In other words, they leave the homeless service sector for a period, but to return at a later point. So we have patterns, very strong patterns of repeat homelessness among women.
Can I ask you, Paula, what led you to do this study?
Well, I suppose my work in this started back in 2009 when I received Irish Research Council funding to conduct a study of women's homelessness in Ireland. And So I, along with Dr. Sarah Sheridan, conducted that particular study. Then that led me to a bigger interest, and I enlisted the help of others at a European level and entered into a collaborative project, again funded with seed funding from the Irish Research Council, to establish the Women's Homelessness in Europe network. So out of that, we conducted a pan-European comparative study, if you like, across countries of women's homelessness. And that's, you know, that has highlighted the level of women's homelessness in Ireland, which is our proportion of women experiencing homelessness in Ireland it exceeds that in other European countries.
So it's very alarming. So what's happening in Ireland that's not happening in other European countries that's forcing women, so many women, to be homeless?
Well, of course, conditions within the housing market, these are well rehearsed, the housing market, the private rental market in particular. Those women who are becoming homeless currently with their children are typically young, in their 20s and 30s. They've typically one or two children, and they're parenting. 66, two-thirds of them are parenting alone. of those in family currently in family homelessness, and they have typically lost their housing following the breakdown or a loss of housing in the private rental sector. This would be due to a notice issued by landlords, short notice because they're selling properties, or because they can't meet the rental payments, which are have risen exponentially over the last 3 years or so. So there is this situation of the housing market. However, I would claim that there are other very important structural and systemic issues. And I would also claim that these have been largely sidelined or ignored within current debates. The first of these relates to the position of women specifically within housing markets. And we know, and it is well established internationally, that women are disadvantaged. Women in general are disadvantaged and discriminated against within housing markets. Now, if we look, if we take that down then to access to affordable housing for low-income women, the situation becomes more problematic. And then if we look at women parenting alone in a housing market that is modelled on a male breadwinner model, it's not difficult to see how women parenting alone will face particular barriers and face housing insecurity and potentially homelessness. So if we, that's the broader structure of women in the housing market. Now, if we take a second, what I would rank as a second huge factor, and it's that it pertains to the economic situations of women, of lone parents. According to a recent House of the Oireachtas report, the position of lone parent families consistently face higher levels of deprivation. And children in one-parent families are three times more likely to live in consistent poverty. So that's another plank, if you like. And finally, I would say the changes to the one-parent family payment, which were introduced in 2012. And what this meant was it changed the age of which the youngest child ceases to, the mother ceases to receive a payment, and that reduced from 18 to 7 years. The rationale for that was to get women back into the labour market, and the notion that the one-parent family payment engendered and encouraged welfare dependency. Now, if we look at the ideology behind that, we may not even go there in this conversation, but the aim was to increase employment. If we look now, 2017, 5 years down the line, did it achieve this? No. The unemployment rate for lone parents has remained at over 50% since 2009. And very significantly, the percentage of one-parent families living in consistent poverty has risen. So we see there are other issues apart from the housing. The housing market is a key driver, there is no question. But there are other systemic structural conditions that pertain to the situation of women and lone parenting, women parenting alone in particular, that are also key drivers.
I can't imagine. I'm a mum, and parenting is hard enough as it is. But to do it in a situation where you really don't know if you have a roof on your head, I mean, I can't imagine how that must impact on the mental health of the woman and the mental health of the children. Now, Roisin, you are the services manager of Focus Ireland. Just remind our listeners of the work that Focus Ireland does.
OK, so Focus Ireland is a charity that has been up and running for about 25 years. It was set up by Sister Stanislaus Kennedy, who had really a vision that everybody had the right to a place that they could call home. And we've been working from that basis over the last 25 years. Where we're at now in terms of our own strategic vision and goal is we really want to prevent homelessness from ever occurring. For the last 4 years, we've been talking and using words like unprecedented, crisis. We've never seen anything like this before. Yet year on year, it is multiplying and multiplying.
They're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah. So 3 or 4 years ago, we were talking unprecedented and crisis, and it has multiplied threefold since 2014 in terms of family homelessness. So what we're looking at the moment, up to May, we had over 1,300 families currently experiencing homelessness, with over 2,700 children with attached to those 1,300 families. Of those 1,300 families, almost 70% of them are single parents. And of that, the majority would be headed by a single mother household. So a lot of what Paula has touched on in terms of the stigmatism, the marginalisation, this is the kind of feedback that our staff are getting from the families and from, in particular from the mothers every day, where mothers don't feel like mothers. Women don't feel like women. There's a huge sense that they have lost their identity and that they can't parent when they're experiencing homelessness, that there's an inability to create any sense of family life, family routine, family structure when they're living in such confines and with very little hope. The majority of the families that we're encountering over the last couple of years, it's for economic reasons. When I started this 16 years ago, families who became homeless tended to have some complexities. There may have been difficulties that led to them being able to sustain homes. They're not the kind of families. That's not the profile that we're meeting now. We're meeting young mothers in particular who have either come from private rented where the rent has increased or the property is sold and they haven't been able to find another one due to the availability or lack of availability in the private rented sector. There just aren't enough houses. And what we're trying to do is push through as much as we can and reach families further up before they present with their children and with their bags and baggages. A lot of families aren't being given the right information at the right time, so it's too late. They've actually left their homes. And we really feel that prevention is so much better than cure. The cost to the government in keeping families in hotels and private emergency accommodation and bed and breakfast versus keeping somebody in a private rented accommodation. There's been endless debates and arguments about that, and I think we there's no need to labour that thought now.
So how can we help these young mothers? Is there apart from obviously housing, is there anything else that can be done? Would childcare help?
Yeah, so we have been working closely with the Department of Children and Youth Affairs, and we noticed and identified a need in particular to give children an opportunity to be away from the environment of homelessness, to be able to interact with peers, with other children, for their developmental needs to be met, for their developmental milestones to be checked, for them to play and to laugh and
be children.
To be children and have a childhood. And also, if they were being cared for, that their mums, their families would have an opportunity to follow up on what they needed to do to help themselves to get out of the homelessness situation, and also to, for example, the Family Homeless Action Team that Focus Ireland has. They have case managers who work directly with the families to help them get all of their documentation together, to give them some emotional support, to help motivate them, to help find them a house at the end of the day is the end goal, to help them leave homelessness. So while their children are being cared for, it gives the mums an opportunity to be able to go and talk to somebody and expedite that process to get them out of homelessness as quickly as possible. So We approached the Department of Children and Youth Affairs, and they introduced a scheme in January of this year that where children of families experiencing homelessness would be able to access childcare for a minimum period of 3.5 hours up to 5 hours a day, where they'd be provided with a meal, and where some of the restrictions from other schemes that are out there for childcare were they weren't as restrictive because we know that some families had to move from hotel to hotel. We knew that some families were travelling maybe across the city to bring older children to school. So there needed to be a little bit of flexibility. And the department were very engaging and very progressive and forthcoming in making that happen. So that launched in January, and we know that over 140 children have been able to take up on that. And they've also extended it to facilitate children between the ages of 6 and 12 to get involved in activities during the school holidays, which is also a time where we notice that stress levels for the families can radically increase because the children are around, they're seeing a lot more. The mums are doing their best
to hide the fact that they're homeless.
To hide it, and also oftentimes the children are trying to look after the mums and dads as well. They don't want to upset them. We also see a lot of times that in the mum or dad's attempt to protect their children, the children don't have a clear understanding of what has happened as to why they've become homeless or why they're still homeless, or why they can't have sleepovers, why they can't have birthday parties, why their friends can't come and visit. So a lot of that is about us as well, getting in there and being able to help the children and help the parents to talk to their children about the experience, to limit the impact that the trauma of homelessness is having on the children and their families.
I've spoken about this openly. You know, this conversation is a big trigger for me because I've experienced homelessness for 4 years back in Sri Lanka. And if you're even homeless for one day, it will have an impact on your life. You'll never forget it. I always say I can't see a cardboard box because it just brings back very bad memories. Paula, what would you like to see happen to tackle this issue?
Well, there are so many, I suppose, layers to the issue. One thing, before moving on to that I would like to mention that arising out of this particular conversation, I wouldn't like listeners to, I suppose, think or believe or understand that that homeless women are a homogenous group. Every woman is different, and also that homeless women are homeless only in context with their families. In fact, the study that Sarah Sheridan and I conducted a number of years back demonstrated that among the women we interviewed who are accessing emergency hostel accommodation on their, you know, on their own, like as single homeless women, over 40% of them were mothers, but half of those mothers didn't have their children in their care, either because they were living with family members or because they had been taken into state care. Now, those women had effectively lost their status, if you like, as mothers, and their situations as mothers was rarely acknowledged within in how their homelessness was managed.
And that the loss in that
the absolute loss. And we framed it. We called it the stigma of lost motherhood. So there are women in desperate situations living with their children in hotels. They're living now increasingly and in homeless family hubs. But there are also women, so-called single women, in homeless hostels, who are mothers, but that situation is not dealt with, and that there's very little effort, or certainly at that time was very little effort, to reunite those mothers with their children. So going back, I suppose, I want to get back to your question. Obviously, the housing market needs to be tackled. We need a rapid response to the lack of social housing. But in terms of the other, I suppose, systemic failures around low-income women, we do need to look at the economic situations of lone parents, about their employment situations, about their need for employment. But there was an assumption when the one-parent family payment, it seems, was removed, that these women could walk into the labour market. How could they do that without training? Without a back to education,
without
schemes.
An address, or
exactly. So, I mean, there are all of these layered issues, and I think that one piece on its own will not solve the problem. Certainly, in a sustainable way.
We have to leave it there, unfortunately. Thank you so much for joining us here on Global Villages. Dr. Paula Mayock from the School of Social Work and Social Policy in Trinity College Dublin, who conducted the study, and Roisin McDonald, who is the services manager of Focus Ireland, which of course is a charity. So anyone listening to this, please, you might think of supporting them because they do great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.